I wanted to name this one, Faith Unveiled. This is okay, let's just put it this way. If I get a chance to preach, I ain't turning it down. That's the love of my life, is my Lord. And I just, I want to speak this morning. It's not going to be long. I'll guarantee that because I can't last. But it's the most wonderful thing in the world to know the Lord. He has been with me since I was 12. He's never left me. Never. No matter what anyone says, he's never left me. It doesn't matter how bad I was or anything else. He's never left me. And that is part of faith. Once you become a child of God, it's done. He loves you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so this morning, I want to start by going to the first verse here, Hebrews 11:1. And everybody knows this pretty much. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And most Christians, you can see up here, I said, they define that as a definition. It's not. That isn't a definition of faith. John Darby did a great job here. He said, it is not a definition of this principle that the epistle gives us at the commencement of chapter 11, but a declaration of its powers and actions. Let that sink in. What is faith? What is my faith? Each one of us has a different faith. We're in a different position, a different point in time, and it is wonderful when we discover our true faith in Christ. Not for salvation, just his presence. That's what is so wonderful. Next slide. So faith sounds simple enough, so why are we exhausted trying to attain it? And why is it so hard to find? I mean, that's what we hear all the time, right? My faith, I can't find the faith. Help my unbelief, as the gentleman said to Christ. I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to trust you. Nicodemus struggled so hard with it. Why? Well, I want to go through some things. And you can see the four up here. I really do feel, after having sat around, because I can't do anything else, I just sit around the house and I think through all these things. And one of the things that came up was time. See, each one of us in here right now has the same amount of time. Not in life span. I'm not talking about that. But weekly, we have the same amount of time. So what do we do with it? Then we're going to look at who and where is God, what defines you, and how to make faith grow. Excuse me. I have a lot of indigestion from this chemo. So let's go to the next one. Notice I put up here, I calculated it out. 24 hours every day, 168 hours a week. 8,760 hours every year. 525,600 hours in 60 years. If you make it to 60 years old, you've been here a pretty good while if you start thinking about hours. But notice the next few statements that I put in there. We don't have time. We always run out. Why? And it occurred to me while I was preparing for this. Priorities. Is faith a priority in your life? It sure wasn't in mine for a while. And I'm going to go through and show you how. But I discovered its priorities. So let's go to the next one. I lost my closeness to God for a while trying to meet my perceived. Notice that nice little word. It's a spiteful word, but it's true. Perceived family's needs. My wife needs me to work. My wife needs me to make money so she can go buy clothes for the kids and they can have everything they want and they can do all the stuff that they want. Play in sports, do this, do that. Run through. What's your priority? Total of a week is 168. Most of us, unfortunately, work 60 hours a week. Some of us are smart, and we don't. We work 40, which is what we should do. But our society has changed us. It says, no, you've got to be the best. You've got to climb to the top. You've got to do this, do that, do this. Do we really? Eight hours a night of sleep. Now, I will be honest, I don't get that. I sleep maybe 4 hours a night. That's it. I always have. I have to hide in the basement so my wife doesn't kill me when I wake up in the mornings. Because it's just me. I don't sleep very much. But if you go with 56 hours, which is 8 hours a night, and then you take the weekend, and it's 24 hours in a weekend. I'm not counting Sunday. Sundays is a day of rest. Okay? You got 28 hours left over. I don't have time. I don't have the ability to do what I need to do because I've just run out of everything. Really? You got 4 extra hours in a day? What do you do with that time? Where are you spending it? When I was working, I ignored my family and did not act as a father or a husband. And I apologized to my kids for that. I was gone all the time. I thought I had to be. I had to supply their needs. I needed to make sure that they were doing everything. But in the process, I didn't spend time with them. I missed them as they were growing up, when they were younger. It was bad. I was working so hard. And then I noticed I obsessed on a career to provide for my family and all my selfish desires because I had to provide for them. Saturdays were my day. Well, no, it wasn't. It should have been my family's day. I was gone from Sunday afternoon till Friday night, Saturday morning, traveling. So what is Saturday? Well, it was working on an MBA. It was working on something else. But I didn't spend the time with my family that I should have. And I regret that. Now, is there anything wrong with it? No, the Lord knew what He was doing. He taught me some valuable lessons in the midst of all of that. So let's go to the next. Once I started learning what it was to figure out how I hadn't spent the time with my family, I owned my own business. Did that for 13 years. One of the most wonderful memories of my life because suddenly, as you can see, I learned to depend on God like a missionary. I didn't know where my next paycheck was coming from. Honestly, I didn't care because I knew God would provide. I was learning those lessons. And so I spent more time with my children. I actually went on field trips with them and had a lot of fun, played games, traveled to Memphis with my son, and we fought in a Warhammer 40K battle and actually came out in second place and in the painting contest, first place. We did well. And it's memories that he still cherishes. I had time with my kids because I hired them to help me during the summer. And I paid them. I didn't use them. I didn't make it slave labor. I paid them. And I paid them what I'd pay everybody else. Because I wanted my time with my kids. And then I ended up for 16 years teaching school. Now, once I got to this point, there's something I realized. There's no compromise. My Lord is number one. When I walk into that classroom, this is my mission field. And that's what I spent it as, a way to just enjoy the kids. Scared a few of them to death. And Robin can vouch for that. She was my parapro helper, not parapro, but co-teacher. She was wonderful, and we had a ball together. And we just enjoyed the kids. And my other, Michelle Jones was with me, and we pulled stunts that we probably shouldn't have, but the kids never forgot it. And it's because there's no compromise. My Bible sat on my desk in front of the class, and if I was asked any question at all about the scriptures, okay, you opened the door, I can answer them. So I did. I used my job for the Lord. It helped me to grow. So let's go. So I want to talk a little bit here about who and where is God. God is found everywhere and in everything. You know, he's our creator. Have you ever sat back and thought, looked at this night sky, looked at the world around you, and everything that we see was spoken into existence? Think about that. Spoken. Let there be light. There it is. And it was perfect. It's not that our God is a creator that has to mold and remold and remold. He gets it right every time, the first time. And that's so important. Teenagers, I'm going to talk to you here. I'm looking at you, every one of you. One verse a day, please. That's all I ask. Read your Bible. Start your day with him. Read your Bible every day, but read at least one verse. Just one verse. It doesn't take much, and you form a habit that just keeps going. I read at least 5 to 6 verses, chapters a day, and I have for the last 20 years. My mind during this time with the cancer, it's amazing what the Lord has brought back to my memory, what he's done for me with it. Prayer every day. Okay, I told Drew I'd say it. A lot of us think that, you know, prayer is, we have to get on our knees. We need to raise our hands. We need to do this or that. But let me tell you, I would drive to school in the mornings and just have a conversation with my God that was sitting next to me in the car. I would get up. Rarely have I ever knelt on my knees. Because what I learned early was prayer is just a conversation. It never ends. I don't need certain things. Now, and I will say this, and you can You can accept it or you can reject it, whichever you want. My wife and I don't pray together. I found it easier. She prays at night when we're laying in the bed, and I pray in the morning when I get up. And then I pray all day long. We pray during meals and ask the Lord to bless our food. But do we sit there and make time to be together for it? No. Now, some of you will say, well, that's just wrong. That's all right. Go ahead. But I'll tell you what. I feel so close to the Lord. Let me tell you a little thing that happened. Go to the next slide. I think that's... 2 weeks ago, my first round of chemo came up. And folks, excuse my French, it was pure hell. There's three chemicals that they're pumping into my body constantly. The first round lasted 2 hours, and I thought, man, this is a piece of cake, no problem. And then the guy walked out and he says, okay, I'm going to give you this next one. It's going to take an hour and a half. He says, about 30 minutes in, you're going to feel it. And I thought, how bad can it be? No. 30 minutes in, I'm done. And then they put a pump on me, going through the port. And Leslie would sit next to me and, oh, there it is. Oh. Every minute, and it just, I got weaker and weaker and weaker. And jaundice set in, my liver was shutting down. And I had to go back into hospital to the emergency room. It was tough. And then I didn't even notice that she was standing behind me the other night. And I was really feeling bad. And I was just talking to the Lord by myself. And I said, oh, Lord, oh, I just need your hand of mercy on me. I need your strength. And in the midst of it all, I felt a kiss on my head. I felt these wonderful arms wrap around me. And all I could do was just say, thank you for that kiss, Lord. Thank you for that hug. I needed that. And then I heard her sob because she had heard it. But he was there. God was there. So there are points in time when you learn these things. Now, this second round of chemo has been pleasure compared to the first. But I've got the most wonderful oncologist I could ever wish for. God gave me this man. He's very truthful. He's very honest about things. And he said, okay, Leslie was sitting next to me. We can postpone if you want.
I didn't understand that.
And you're not supposed to. And he said, we can postpone this or we can continue. What do you want to do? I can adjust this chemo. And I told him, I said, my life is in your hands. You know more than I do. Let's go for it. He said, okay, it's going to be about an hour. I'm going to send your blood work over. We're going to get the bilirubin count, and I'm going to adjust your chemo. Wow. It was wonderful. I felt the same weariness, but I didn't feel the sense of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, during that period, I wasn't worried. I didn't fear anything, but it's draining. Now, I will say yesterday, it's not all bed of roses. About 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm calling my sister. I just needed to hear her voice. She's all I've got left. And that, when she got on the phone and started talking, and we got to laughing, and we got to enjoying talking about the Lord and all the things that we've done in the past, the stupid things that we still do, it changed everything. I got energy. And Dale came by. That was great. Thank you, Dale. It was just a lot of fun. Excuse me. What defines you? This is the one that probably I learned the most from in the last few weeks. I want you to really listen carefully here, please. Don't be ashamed or afraid of your past. God made you the way He did for a purpose. And He brought you to Him through salvation. And He says, you are mine. Don't be ashamed of your past. Because He changed you. He also used your past to bring you to Him. Notice these last words, please. Rejoice in His plan. Faith will grow when you finally decide, I'm who I should be, not I'm not who I should be. I need to be something better. That's not the truth. I'm going to read a song here. It's called The Truth by Megan Woods. The chorus of this song: the truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud, and I make Him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is that I am truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, whether from Satan, the world, or our own minds. I belong to You, and that's the truth. The bridge starts, I know who I am, because I know who You are. Think about that. God designed us, made us, planned our whole lives out for us, gives us blessings every day that we never can even think of. And yet we want to believe the lies that are in the world. The truth is, I have the imputed righteousness of Christ, and I can stand before God my Father, and I know He sees nothing but Christ's righteousness. Was I a sinner in the past? Oh, yes, I was. Do I deserve a spot in heaven? No, I don't. But He provided for me. He said, I love you. Come to Me. Trust Me as your personal Savior. Sorry. Find your passion. Folks, this is the next thing that I really have struggled with in the past, and it's helped me so much. My passion is, I love music. Am I a musician? No. Can I read music? No. I can play my guitar. I may not be that proficient, But you know what I discovered years back? I'm not playing to anybody out here. I play to the Lord. My dad wants to hear me sing. So I'm recording a bunch of songs for my grandkids and for my children. So I find the songs that I like, and I figure out the chords, and I sit down in front of it, the computer, and I play them. Are there mistakes in it? Sure there are. I'm not perfect. But I sit there and I play and I sing, and they can, when I am gone, they can hear my voice and see everything. Music is one of the things that just thrills my soul. And I have embraced it. Books. I love books. If you ever visit my house, you'll find I got a few books. just a tad. They're upstairs, they're downstairs, they're in the basement, they're everywhere. I love books. And almost every one of them are theological books. Because from 12 years, when I started about 15 years old, I started reading all of those, and that's what I enjoy. I love sci-fi and horror. Alien. I love science. I'm a nerd, and I'm proud of it. It's just the way it is. I don't apologize anymore, and I love beer and brewing. It's a passion of mine. Can't have it anymore. It's killing me. I'll get a stein when I get to heaven. But it's a passion that I had. Let's go. How'd my faith grow? My wife made my faith grow. June 16th, 1979, I married the most beautiful woman in the world. And as I said my vows, I guess I'm typical of most males. I was thinking, honeymoon. Yeah. How fast can I get there? I made it in 5 hours. It was driving all the way down to Silver Springs, was where we stayed the first night.
Lake City.
We were moving. But as I've gone through this period with the cancer, I realized something. I was thinking about the honeymoon, but the honeymoon never ends, guys. Not until that covenant is done and till death do us part. That's when my honeymoon's going to end. Because I've got the most wonderful wife in the world. I woke up the other night. If you read your Bible, you wake up with these strange thoughts in your head sometimes. But I woke up and I was looking over at her. She was dead asleep. And all of a sudden, the book of Song of Solomon came into my head. And I'm walking through the conversations that go on in it. It was actually amazing. And for the first time, I'm looking at my wife and thinking, wow, I got more than Solomon ever thought about heaven. But that's where faith comes in. He teaches you things. But I had to learn it through my wife first, because she's always there, doesn't complain, and she loves me. And I love her too. Let's go. The men's group, we watched a video, and I tried my best, but I couldn't remember. We watched a guy that was in Scotland, and he said something about a kiss from God every morning, and that just hit me. So I thought, so what is that like? I need that kiss every morning. Well, guess what? I get it. as I slip out of the bed and put my feet on the floor, I realized he's just kissed me because I'm still here. I'm able to walk. Slow down, people, please. Find your priorities. Slow down and find God. That's faith. Let him guide you. Feel his presence. Don't try and make it happen, but honestly, let your heart reach out to him and say, please, just let me have a little touch. Just a small inkling of a touch. And then you can feel his arms take you up and love you on every hurt, every disappointment, and in every victory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I have not been afraid at any point during this time. When I was told I had 6 to 9 months, if the chemo doesn't work, that's okay. I'm going to win no matter what, because I'm going to be in heaven. And if I live to be, 15 more years, hey, that's all right. I'm going to serve my God. My dad is going to be proud of me. I have a legacy that I want to leave my kids, and it's 3 words. He loves Jesus. That's all I want. For my grandkids, I'm recording different books of the Bible. I've read through Philippians. And so when my daughter asked me to please do this for her, she wanted me to read several books so that they would have my voice and they would be able to hear the scriptures read from someone who absolutely loves God's word. Because I do. That's faith, folks. That's faith. My priority right now, if you'll go to the next one, I'm ready to go home. I am. I'm tired. I'll be honest. But as long as God wants me on this earth, I will be faithful to him and I will do what he tells me to do each and every single day. I feel his kiss every morning, his arms wrapped around me. A lot of people have asked me, what's your bucket list? I don't care. There's not a bucket list anymore. Do I want to travel? I'm on the greatest journey right now I've ever been. Because something special happens every day. And I feel God's presence. And I know he's there. Possessions, I'm so rich with my wife, my kids, my grandkids. I don't need any riches. My family, that's my greatest treasure. What I want to leave with them is he loves Jesus. That's all I want them to remember. And time, folks, I've accomplished what God wants me to do. Please honestly ask yourself, have you? Where is your faith? Is it in the world, in yourself? Or are you relying on God, the Heavenly Father, to bring you to that end so that you can smile and just enjoy the rest of your the time in eternity? We're in a win-win situation. If you know Christ is your Savior, you can't lose. It's the battle's done.